This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, March 18th. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, guys?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
That's the most unenthusiastic white man voice you've ever given us on the podcast.
That's an all-timer. That's a frameable white guy intro. I'm Mike, aka Guardy B. A lot of basketball stuff, a lot of non-basketball stuff to talk about as always. So let's jump into it. Did you guys watch the ESPN games tonight? Did you see the Bucks Sixers statement game?
I was so ready to say it was trash. You know what I mean? How boring it was. Until it wasn't. Like, that, those last few minutes were pretty interesting. You know what I mean?
It felt like at halftime, both teams realized it was after the All-Star break. You know what I mean? It was like the Bucks had 31 at halftime. They scored 13 points in the second quarter. And then, yeah, fourth quarter and overtime was great. But it definitely felt like this no fan shit is weird, bro. Or like, and actually the 1,500 fans might be weirder because the energy was just so odd for
that
the whole
spotty
game.
Fans here and there. It was 80 tied at 80 with like 3 minutes left in the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Doris mentioned that we probably haven't seen that since like an Indiana Pacers like Eastern Conference final series. you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? It was a very odd game, but it got really interesting at the end. I'm surprised they won. It was a lot of like not Giannis. At times, Giannis seemed like he didn't know what the fuck he wanted to do. He would jump in the air and have open like 8-footers and 10-footers and then just throw the ball to another open guy. I'm like, and you know, luckily they were hitting shots. I mean, sometimes, but he turned the ball over a couple times too, just being indecisive, which was kind of odd to me, you know, but you know, they pulled it out, which is crazy. Came back from what, 20 down?
Yeah, Giannis looked like, I mean, the overtime was crazy. You know what I mean? He had like rebound, layup, rebound, three-pointer, block, rebound. Like, he definitely had one of those stretches that was crazy.
Yeah, and then but in the fourth quarter, there were times it was just really weird. You know what I mean? Like, and then he just made up for it in the end. There was one point where he had a fast break, three dribbles and a Euro step from, like, one, you know, baseline to the other one. Is like, we asked you this in the group chat. Who do you, like, Doris brought this up too. Who would y'all think is, who would you be more scared of in open court, Bron or Giannis?
You know, and like I said in the group chat, like, I'm going with Bron because of his vision, right? Like, he's someone who where he keeps the defenders honest when they're backpedaling, right? They've got to account for where Bron's teammates are, because they know if they sell out and lock in on Bron, Bron's going to hit a fucking somebody in the corner like Kyle Korver for an open three, right? So I feel like Bron is more deadly in the open court, but Giannis only needs like two steps in that motherfucker and he's at the rim. Like, we've never seen, like, is there a metric for the biggest strides ever in NBA history? Because Giannis got to be at the top of that shit.
Giannis's triple jump stats would be fucking crazy. Like,
the ground he covers is insane. I've seen him go from 1 3-point line on the other side to finish on the other bucket with a dribble and a Euro. A dribble, yeah, and a Euro. Like,
the answer is Bron, though. And it's not because he's so good at basketball to me. It's because you sometimes see Bron when he puts a shoulder into someone's chest, or someone, God forbid, someone tries to take a charge and he decides he doesn't feel like stepping around them. Like, I'm good, bro. Like,
there is keeping it on topic here. There is a very funny clip of Bron putting his shoulder in Meyer Leonard's chest. And Meyer Leonard looks like he was scanning for some slurs in that moment too. Like,
you know, he couldn't wait to get home to get them off. You feel me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you saw the clip of him setting the screen on Nico Mannion in the Warriors game, right? Mm-hmm. Nico's running full speed, and Bron, I mean, he's making the, like, you thought face, like, while he's standing there.
He looked like, it's the game, I need to do this. It was just, you know, like, it's my job in this situation, right? He almost looked like he felt bad a little bit, you know what I mean?
His shoulder didn't even ripple.
Nothing. Nico's whole body looked like his joints were, you know, displaced and shit. You know what I mean? His head popped back. And Bron, like, literally looks like a wall. I'm like, that is a man. That's what I thought when I saw that clip. What a man. You know what I mean? Jeez.
Tapping some peas onto the lunch tray, right? You know?
That is a man.
Right, that's a man, you know? Comes into work with the metal lunch pan, you know what I mean? Like, metal lunch pail, bro.
He's a lunch pail hard hat guy right there.
Right to his chest, and he didn't move at all.
I'll tell you what, though, about that game. And I know Embiid is out right now. So, I mean, I think people are right to point out that Embiid is out, and people are also right to say that Giannis looks like he's coming a little bit more aggressively. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. This is the best Giannis we've ever seen. And that motherfucker's going to be like 11th in MVP voting because, you know, of like voter fatigue, and they're not going to give it to him three times in a row. Like, that is some, you know, Mount Rushmore shit right there. If you win three fucking MVPs.
But this is why basketball is America's sport, bro. Like, we talk about voter fatigue in the MVP. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the most American shit ever. Like, we're tired of voting for him. But I would say I definitely felt more confident after the game that the Nets are coming out of the East than I've, like, ever been. Cause you just, like, those teams cannot play defense, bro.
I think with Embiid back,
the Sixers with Embiid back, but I still don't think that they match up. You know what I mean? Like we talked about on the pod before, unless Embiid goes for 60, but you watch the Bucks try and close that game out, bro. How do you give up a wide open baseline three with 3 seconds on the, you know what I mean? Like,
he was butt naked,
but like, and it looked like, I mean, there was three plays at the end of regulation and overtime where they're all looking at each other like they didn't know who was supposed to be guarding who. And it's like, guys, it's fucking March. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. So I'm like more confident than ever. You watch the Nets, like the Nets just have that shit. Like, they're not even at full strength and they're just winning easily, like 14 to 15, chilling.
Debatably, the best player in the world is not playing and they're the hottest team in the NBA. I looked at James Harden's stats. I think it was what, I mean, it was, I forgot what, who they were playing, but it was earlier this week. And he had like 17, 15, and 15. I'm like, their fucking point guard got 15 rebounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what the, what? You know, like, dude, James Harden, are we talking, I mean, we were like, what he's been doing, like this, for me, like watching him as of late, this is the, my favorite James Harden. You know what I mean?
So James Harden is fun to you now.
I'll say this. I've enjoyed watching him play, but in Houston, like as the guy, you know, I didn't enjoy it, but I mean, I guess I got Kyrie to kind of balance it out. You know what I mean? But yeah. I always respected how savvy he was. I think, you know, he's better equipped to play today's game than anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way he approaches it, probably the best approach to basketball with the rule changes and all that type of stuff and how the game's played now. Right.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a beautiful contrast because like Harden has like old man, 53-year-old dad game, and he's just super crafty and wild. And then Kyrie is like the fucking wild ass 14-year-old who just hit a growth spurt and is like realizes how nice he is, right? Like it's fucking reckless abandon and old guy craftiness on the same fucking team. You know what I mean?
But yeah, the way he's approached, you know, his role in this team, I've enjoyed watching it for sure. And yeah. Like I said, you said the balance with him and Kyrie, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point where I was like, you know, we'll see how this works with having to tell Kyrie to take a back seat. You know what I mean? When Kyrie was so big on, he wanted to be the man and have his own team. And Harden came along and he said, yo, I'm the two now. Harden's the point. And I was like, okay, well, that fucking concern goes out the window right now. You know
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
And they are making that shit work, man. Yeah.
I mean, Kyrie's doing Kyrie shit. KD, when he's playing, he's looking just like KD. And Harden's the one that's kind of fit himself, you know, where we can get in. You know what I mean? Like, and it's worked. You know what I mean? Like, the was 2 years ago he was MVP. And now he's approaching it. It's like, yeah, I'm going to let y'all do y'all thing. And I'm going to just, you know, when y'all need me, tag me in. You know what I mean? And yeah. And it's been fun to watch.
So it's, you know, it's NCAA tournament time. Obviously, there's a lot. So let's fill our NBA playoff bracket out briefly. I've got the Nets coming out of the East already. I mean, I just barring another bit, I just think that's happening. And then who are you most worried about in the West for the Lakers? I mean, the Clippers just gave up.
Yeah, like
40 something to Luka. No one...
right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't think the Jazz are
there's no one that comes to mind immediately. Like last year would have been Clippers split second answer. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. This season it's like I have to see how the bracket shakes out because I don't think there's anyone in the West who is a legit threat to the Lakers.
Yeah, the Nuggets don't scare me. The Jazz are playing great right now. I think in a seven game series, it's not gonna be an issue. I think they could 5-1 them boys. You know what I mean? I mean 4-1 them. You know what I mean? Make it a 5-game
throw, series. Throw an extra right. Win on just for good
right,
measure.
Yeah, just right. Extra asshole because fuck them. 5-0. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, no. Like, yeah. Just to make it difficult, make them, you know, win 5 games in a 7-game series.
I always like, you know, and I can say this as a lifelong Lakers fan, you always like it when the league's interests are your interests too. You know what I mean? You know, like the league wouldn't mind a Lakers Nets finals, bro. The league would not mind that shit. So.
But I mean, like we got a AD, bro. We don't know. We don't know yet. We don't know about AD. You feel me? Like,
I'm glad that we're all on the same page. The front office, the coaches, the players, the fans. It's all good. I've not seen one person, like every Lakers fan I know is like, sit him to the playoffs. I don't give a fuck. Like,
right.
Let him, you know what I mean? Just got to be 100% sure that he's not out for this year and for, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to make sure he's healthy, bro.
Yeah, right.
So, shit. I don't know. All right. Did you guys see Steph go down and break his ass in the.
No, what happened?
He was stumbling backwards off court, and you know a lot of the places have basically left the metal risers that you put the kind of folding chairs on for those bottom couple rows, and he went up. There's no seats there, but the risers are still there. So his heel caught. He's stumbling backwards, and his heel caught. His feet went up, and he landed directly on his ass and left with a tailbone contusion. that they're going to hope is just a contusion and not obviously anything more serious than that. But have you ever done anything to your, it's called the coccyx. You ever done anything to your coccyx?
Did you see his face immediately upon landing though?
That's why I thought it was, that's why I thought it might be broke. Cause I've had friends break it. You know, when you break it,
I mean, that was a, what the fuck is that? Face.
Right, I've never noticed that bone before in my life.
Right, right. This is happening in this position. Like, whoa, like, you know what I mean? That was a, you know, like that was. I haven't felt this in this position before. Face. I hope he's healthy, man. Like, Steph's playing too good. He's super fun to watch.
They said they don't think it's broken, so yeah. It's just. I mean, I'm sure he won't play the rest of this week, and you know, I mean, depending on how bad the bruise is or whatever, they'll give him some time. But
rest them however long possible. They're not good. Steph's good. They're not. You know what I mean? No use. I mean, you know, next year is the year when they're trying to get back. You know what I mean? When they get Clay back. So
I wanted to talk about Dame Lillard fully summoning the spirit of like Nipsey or like Kobe. Just like, you know what I mean? Like goes for 50 and the win. And then like by far the best post-game interview that we've probably seen since the fucking pandemic started. Like
off 20 shots.
Different, dude.
10 assists, 20. God, you know what I mean? You know, the post game inspiring, you know, doing like, dude, like, is there any, when Dame started doing Dame stuff, was there any doubt how it was going to end?
He is the one player who no lead is safe around him. Like there's no other player who a lead is least safe around than Dame Lillard. I feel like.
Like when they started,
it's ridiculous.
When they started fucking up, turning the ball over and all that, I'm like, this is the last player you want on the court when you're doing right. This type of shit. You know what I mean? And once that turnover they had, like when they were down, what was it, down? The Blazers were down one when he turned the ball over. I'm like, it's over. It's over. Cash it out. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to be a foul. But, I mean, I knew how whatever happened, Dame was going to be involved in winning that game for the Blazers. There's no way. The most clutch player in the game, and we've seen, you know, like in the last, since the bubble, you know what I mean? Maybe even, you know, majority of last
year. Is he the number one player in the league where if he's down by two and he lets a three go, is he the person in the league you're the most sure that the ball's going in?
Last person I want to see take that shot from one of the other team, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Shit. I don't know. But he's so, you know, the talk obviously is around where he belongs in the MVP discussion. I think the latest Vegas odds with Embiid being injured are Braun, Joker, Embiid, Giannis, Luka, and then like some order of Harden, Curry, Dame.
Before I would say Luka, you know what I mean, and Giannis.
I think Dame should for sure be higher than that.
I don't think you can. Harden's up there. But I don't think you can talk about the MVP race without mentioning Dame. You know what I'm saying? Like McCollum was hurt for a large chunk of the season. Nurk is still out. He's been putting the team on his back, fighting by himself and making like all of his points, all of his stats are in the biggest moments. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have any empty stats. You know, he's averaging 30 and they needed every damn fucking point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how you have a MVP race and not mention Dame at this point. That's kind of ridiculous to me. He's top five at least.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
I think he's top four. I would say top four. You know what I mean? And then, you know, like five is Harden.
You think Bron's going to win it?
I don't. I don't want to say it, though.
I feel like this MVP race is going to come back to, like, who's got like the best last minute push in like the last 15 games of the season or some shit. You know what I mean? That's the vibe I'm getting from this season. So,
and do you think Bron is going to put that type of effort until the end of the season? If they have if they have a decent seed, you know, like
if the Lakers are in the 3 seed and the Clippers are in the 2 seed and there's nothing to be get you, like it's going to be 2-3 in some order, Bron will shut that shit down so hard to get healthy for the playoffs, bro. Really? Like, don't you feel like,
yeah, I feel the same way.
But at the same time, I think he was a little bit offended last year. I mean, he is clearly thinking about some of the legacy shit. You know what I mean? In terms of like being the oldest to blank, you know? So I don't know. Maybe I don't think he'd put anything over being healthy for the playoffs. But I do think he cares about it.
Yeah, but I mean, all the minutes he's putting into this because AD's out, you know what I mean? And all the effort he's putting in, nobody's more aware of his body than Bron. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and he's going to, you know, weigh, you know, he's going to put the chasing the championship, you know, above anything. So I don't see it at the end of this season. He's put all this effort into just, you know, helping them win without
Joker,
AD. Though.
It can't be a Joker. I mean, you know what I like?
He's been great, bro.
Give it to Giannis again.
Why do you say that?
Ridiculously good to see.
What's that?
Why do you say that?
Why say give it to Giannis again?
Why are you anti-Joker?
I just don't want a big, heavy white dude to be the MVP, bro. Like, if I'm being honest, I just don't feel like it's a good look. I don't know. I mean, Luka, I don't know.
The Mavericks aren't good enough for Luka.
No, and I don't think he should win it this year. I'm just saying, like, before the year started, I assumed we talked about it in the pod. I assumed it was going to be Luka before the year started. Like, I didn't expect him to come in out of shape and very pleased.
I'm kind of leaning towards Harden. I think, like, you know, he's slowly Harden or Dame. I'm kind of leaning that way. You know what I mean? Especially if they like figure out a way to, you know, be first or second in the East. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the end of the season, and the way he's been playing, and the most important person on the team, not the best player, but the most important person on the team that's the hottest in the NBA right now. Like, and if they continue the rest of the season, which they could.
It would be a real weird. It would be really fucking weird for Harden to go to the Nets and win.
And win the MVP.
I don't disagree.
That would be wild.
Okay, we had a couple trades today. I don't know if you guys caught up on those. PJ Tucker is going to the Bucks, and Trevor Ariza is going to the Heat.
One do we actually give a fuck about, though?
I thought that this happens every year in the league, that the guys that are buyout eligible or trade eligible, particularly bigs, they get played up a little bit. I mean, you look at we're doing the same thing, you know, the everyone looking to see the Drummond buyout, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like these dudes, I mean, come on, bro. Like, PJ Tucker is going to put the Bucks over the top against the net. But you know what I mean? I don't see it. I think it signals to Giannis that they're trying, is I think what it does, in my opinion.
Myers Leonard went home. That's the funniest one. That's the most right.
God damn, Myers Leonard out there dancing with trailers and shit.
We shouldn't even say Myers Leonard. The contract with Myers Leonard's name on it got sent to Oklahoma City, where I think they're just using that as a financial piece. I don't think he's actually he's probably not moving. You know what I mean? But whatever. I did get a good laugh out of that. That was good. John, you
that
wanted
boy
to talk
went from Miami to Oklahoma. Because of Twitch. Like, God damn. what the fuck? What reality are we living in?
Right.
Bro, but he deserved so crazy it. You know what I mean?
He is not the victim here. I'm not at all. I'm not at all saying he caught a bad break.
Just remarkable.
Like, that's just the way shit breaks for you in 2021, right? Like, you're in Miami 1 second, then you're just on Twitch being a dickhead, and now you're in Oklahoma. Like, that's the way shit moves now.
Somebody on
Snipes too. Like
I was gonna say somebody on Twitter said, "Do you think the kid that the undoubtedly 14-year-old kid that sniped Myers Leonard has any idea what they set in motion?"
Hey, that's some butterfly effect shit for real.
Right,
dog.
Right. They went and ate a bowl of fucking Apple Jacks after like shit was sweet. You know what I mean? Continue their day, not knowing that, you know, they got Myers Leonard to show exactly why everybody was holding his knees, you know, during the anthem. You know what I mean? They cracked the case wide open. On the next episode of Ghost Rider. You know what I mean? Like, they figured it out. You know what I mean? They figured that shit out. You know what I mean? So
I love how much homage we paid to Ghost Rider on this.
I love Ghost Rider, bro. The most crazy about Ghost Rider there was like 3 minutes of actual show. You know, a lot of it was lead up and then like leading out, you know, and like, you know what I mean? But like actual action in the show, there was maybe 3 minutes, a whole bunch of commercials, but I loved the shit out of it. I couldn't wait till, you know, what was happening next time on Ghost Rider. You know what I mean?
Find out next time.
That was a pretty shitty situation for those characters to be in when you think about it, because it's like, bro, like for one, I'm like 12 years old and you're making me fucking solve crimes, and then I got a fucking ghost telling me how to solve this shit. Right. Like, what type of shitty existence is that for a sixth grader? That's spooky as fuck.
Spooky as hell, bro. You know what I mean?
That's like if that show is on.
You're a crime fighter and a fucking paranormal expert at 11 years old, right?
And I ate like, that shit
that's
up,
that's a heavy burden to bear, bro.
What's crazy is you say that, and when I was young, I wished it was me. But if it was me, I would have fucking hated it. You know what I mean? It was on TV, so I wanted it. But in real life, when you break it down in that way, that is a horrible situation to be in.
I just want to go play basketball. Bro, I don't want to solve any more crimes, bro. You ghost.
You 11 years old and you know, following your passion of being a journalist, and a motherfucking ghost tells you there's a dead body in the alley that you need to go look at. Like,
bro,
what the fuck?
Bro, dog, I'd be like, bro, a ruined kid.
Right, I was just typing a report on how much I love Lucky Charms, and now I gotta go identify a body at the morgue.
A fucking ghost pulls up. You want to see a dead body? No, I'm 11. You know what I mean? What
my teacher said I should take a picture of the trash pickup on Saturday.
Right, right. Dog,
hey, man. Got me breaking up a mess writer.
Yeah, man. That was some juicy shit. I never even thought about that. Damn, man.
Yeah, fuck Ghost Rider.
Everything was trash, dog. Even Ghost Rider. Damn, that's crazy as hell, bro. There was 4 minutes per show of actual action, and all 4 minutes was horrifying. You know what I mean? When you break it down. Jeez.
I'm putting Ghost Rider on the doesn't hold up list. The official does not hold up list for Jenkins and Jones. All right, but we're not referencing Ghost. We're
Twitter
just saying.
Twitter would have lit Ghost Rider's ass up. There would have been hashtags 11-year-olds are not your mules and all types of shit, bro. Like, Twitter would have got Ghost Rider the fuck up out of here.
It would have lasted 3 episodes. That mother went like 15 seasons. They would have ended in 3 episodes in 2021. You feel me? Fuck out of here.
Sixth graders do not owe you emotional labor. You're fucking right. Right. Fuck Ghost Rider, man. God damn, we just let Ghost Rider ass up for like 5 minutes. Ghost Rider wasn't doing shit, bro.
That show elderly as hell. We just beat that motherfucker up, dog. Damn.
Why did it need to be middle school journalists?
Right, it was. It's at least been high school. That feels a little different, right?
Right. But
like,
you couldn't have gone to the college paper, bro.
Right, right. They're still reading like R.L. Stine and Christopher Pike books in that age. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
You feel what I'm saying? Damn.
John, you wanted to talk about a comparison for LaMelo?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Well, I was talking to Vinny Goodwill. I want to give him credit on this, but he brought this up and it was really interesting. He was talking about his size, his speed, how good he is. And he compared Melo to Penny Hardaway, like how he approaches the game, how he can score, how exciting he is. And first of all, I got really excited. I don't think, like, unless you watch Penny, you don't know. Unless you were there. You had to be there, you know what I mean, to truly get how incredible the Penny Hardaway experience was when he was popping. But, like, I see it. You know, he has the size. He has the court vision. He can score. He's athletic as hell. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's so fast with the ball, you know, and so savvy, you know, like the way Penny was. I mean, we've only seen, like, half a season. But, I mean, based upon that half a season, that comparison holds up, and that is fucking crazy to think. And it's also crazy to think I never even thought about it when I saw him play. But it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's like when you hit me with that comparison, I was like, yeah, how did I never see that shit before?
Right.
Like, I totally agree that, you know, it's the whole, you know, the silky smooth mm-hmm. but explosive finish, you know, ridiculous court vision, ridiculous passer. And that fucking spin move, like Penny's spin move was one of the best ever. And LaMelo's spin is mean as fuck too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely do see, you know, Penny and LaMelo's game. But at the same time, you know, those are big shoes to fill. Penny was a bad motherfucker. Penny was a bad motherfucker.
Bro, we was copying Penny's like Jays, dog.
I was going to say, I don't think people understand how big and how good Penny was. He was like first team All-NBA like his third year in. Right, like he was fucking bouncing MJ in 95 out the yep. fucking playoffs, and MJ was showing up in the pennies in yep. that series, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah,
that's yeah, the Penny, only other Penny, shoe he ever Penny wore, was right? The, was the penny, right? That's the only other shoe
exactly.
ever wore that wasn't
the
his.
The pennies yeah. are the only other signature shoe MJ yeah. ever wore. Penny was the second biggest guy in the basketball signature shoe world behind MJ for a minute. And the motherfucking foam posits were the first sneakers I ever remember being more expensive than the Jordans, right?
They were like 160, and, right? That was insane. Like
yeah, yeah, they was like 180 in like 98, crazy, which is like crazy. $700 now.
right.
But yeah, but beyond what he meant, you know, culture-wise, impact-wise, sneaker-wise, Penny was cold, man. Cold. Like there was a time where, you know, like I said, first team All-NBA his third year in. There was a time where the only guard better than Penny in the world was Michael Jordan. Like, you cannot oversell how good Penny was. He was ridiculous, man. And but I do like, see, you know, fingerprints of Penny's game and LaMelo, absolutely. But like I said, LaMelo got some work to do before he can.
No, but I would say, like, for me,
blueprints there.
The blueprint's there, but also it's been a few years since there was a rookie who is as exciting to me as Melo. Like, I'm as excited about Melo as ESPN wanted me to be about Zion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of those rare dudes, especially as a rookie, where every time I see the Hornets, I'm happy that you know what I mean? I never felt like it was a waste of time. Like,
I'll be honest. Like, if I see the Hornets are playing, I'm turning the TV on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he has me watching Hornets basketball and not just watching it. I'm watching a lot of it. You know what I mean? Like, the way he approaches the game, I've literally never seen somebody as young as him approach it in that way. You know what I mean? Like,
did you see when they asked him about playing Bron?
No, what'd he say?
They asked him today because they're about to play the Lakers, obviously. And they said, you know, I'm trying to remember what the wording was, but it was like, are you looking forward to playing LeBron, or like, is that going to be a crazy moment for you?
What did he say? It's just basketball.
He said, I mean, nah.
Like, bro, dude, look, like, people, this is how you know.
He said, I grew up different than that, man. I wasn't really on basketball like that. Like, I'm going to go and try and win the game. Like,
he said, I remember seeing something where he said he didn't really watch a bunch of basketball. He played it. You know what I mean? You could tell because he's a hooper, not just a basketball player. He learned by playing the game. You know what I mean? But I think, like, what he went through, like, when he was 16, where he was like, there were actual outlets questioning if he was the most hated high school player ever. He was probably more hated than most NBA players have ever been hated. You know what I mean? Like, grown men were excited about his mistakes, like reveling in his mistakes.
I will never forget. I was working and covering basketball in Southern California when he had the like 90-point game.
And they shit on a 92-point game.
Twitter was
clowning it like he was just cherry picking. Like, crazy. You understand? I was like, the kid to get 90.
I was like, the kid went 11 from 14 for three.
For three, too. But it's like, he cherry picked. Y'all are finding a way to shit on a 15, 16 year old who got 92 points. But like, the fact that that didn't like debilitate him in that way, because he was getting shit on like an adult. You know what I mean?
People were crazy. And like, people took all their feelings about his dad, all the resentment about his older brother being so good. Everyone took everything out on him because he was kind of an awkward looking little kid. You know what I mean?
Also, I think the way he played, he played 92 points too. Go ahead.
92 points is ridiculous no matter how you cut it. Like, if you told me, you know, if you woke me up on a Saturday morning and rolled me a basketball, I was like, yo, go down to the gym and get 41 buckets. That's a chore. You know what I mean? Like, that's some shit I would not want to do. You know what I mean? So that shit's ridiculous. However,
okay, and keep this in mind as well. High school basketball in California is 8-minute quarters. It's a 32-minute game. Mm-hmm. He scored 92 points.
Yeah.
So it's exactly what you said. I mean, Lisa Leslie famously scored 100 in a game in high school in Southern California. And what I've always felt like with her, again, it's just like, it's just the physics of it are just difficult to do. I mean, like, you 32 minutes of game time, you have to score 100 points. She wasn't shooting any threes. So, you know, 50-ish field goals. That's quite a pace to keep up for an entire game.
Right. But yeah, man, it's like, it was such a wild time. But to see like him, how he's embracing, playing against the best players and potentially the best player that ever played tomorrow. It makes sense, being that how we saw him handle shit that most grown men couldn't handle. You know what I mean? But it's what's crazy is I love how it's fun to watch him because you see that he's having fun. Like, when people play, like, people love that play basketball, love basketball, right? We know these players love the game, but I don't think it's to the point where it consumes him. Like, it's really just a game to him. You know, to a lot of people, they love it so much. And when things get down, they get so down because they're so obsessed and their love for the game is consuming. I don't think it is for him. I think he really approaches it like a game. He never loses sight that he's playing a game. And I think that's a very difficult balance. And I think it shows just his maturity in general. Like, that's why he approaches every situation the same, because it's really just a game to him. It's very important to him, but it's just a game. So when he's playing Bron, he's playing a game against a good guy that's really good at that game.
Nah. You
Like, I mean, to him, though.
I know. It was a perfect response. He's just like, because he wasn't like trying to sell it. No. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it's just another game. He's just like, I mean, nah.
And it is so believable, right? Like, you didn't question if he was, you know, he was like, no, I just, you know, I don't think the way y'all think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's great. Like, Melo is super dedicated to being the best basketball player he could be, right? Like, there's no question of that. But it also feels like he thoroughly enjoys how good he is too. And it's like, you rarely see that balance where you have like, you know, a maniacal obsession of being great and someone who, you know, has fun being as great
it's still fun.
You don't see that often. Like, I love that clip of him in that classroom in high school where he's going around, you know, putting the camera on all his homies on the team and talking about how he busts their ass all the time. Put the camera on him. He can't do shit with me either. He stayed backpedaling. Right. Yeah, I love that fucking clip.
Did you see him cross over Lonzo in their backyard? They were playing. He's playing Lonzo, crossed him over, and made him fall. Made Lonzo fall. This is when he was in high school. Shit. Laid it up and just took off. Ran in the house, like, you know what I mean? Like, that dude loves playing basketball.
But he's not consumed with it.
And that's crazy to see.
I also think if you're a casual basketball fan, you're an NBA fan, what you saw was, okay, Lonzo's not as good in the league as maybe people thought he was going to be, and LaVar is a big personality. If you've followed that family, if you've covered that family since, you know, they were younger in high school, Lonzo was the fucking man in high school, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lonzo walked into Long Beach Poly and did some shit that no one had done in there since DeMar DeRozan. You know what I mean? Like, he had NBA vets from Poly coming out of the stands to tell him great game and shake his hand after the game. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, LiAngelo has been completely passed over. LiAngelo hit like 15 threes in a game.
He's the best shooter of the three. He's just not the best basketball player.
So, you know what I mean? Melo was, you know, he had all their dad's big personality shit. His brother is like the best high school player in the country, and he's 2 years younger than him, going up against him every day for his whole fucking life.
Then
the middle brother is a hooper. He can shoot the lights out too, right? So, like, he grew up in the most unique laboratory you could ever have created to bring the equal parts talent and personality. He's so much fun every time he plays. He's so much fun.
It's interesting. Why I saw like this like behind the scenes stuff where LiAngelo was still playing, and LiAngelo put up crazy points. You know, I mean, he was really good. Like when they were both on the same high school team, and Melo was just like, I was the best player of that team. You know what I mean? Like, I was the best. And that's the way he just wasn't. LiAngelo was getting buckets. The best shooter was, you know, like, but it was like, I don't care if you're older than me. I don't care how many points you got. Like, I had a 92-point game, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it right there. But I was the best player on that team. I don't care what nobody says. God could come down and be like, no. He'd be like, no. He looked God straight in his face and be like, I was the best player on that team. However you feel is how you feel. You know what I mean? It matters not to me. It matters not too high. You know what I mean?
Like, it matters not too high.
It matters not to me. Thine opinion is thy own.
Are you guys excited to, are you strapping yourselves to the couch for the NCAA tournament? How much college basketball are you planning on ingesting over the next week? A medium amount?
I can't believe how little bit college basketball I watched this season. Like,
I watched almost none outside of games that I was covering, but I am planning on like soaking myself to the fucking eyeballs in the tournament.
I'll tap in for Jalen Suggs for sure.
Yeah, I love the tournament. I love especially the opening rounds of the tournament. I love that shit regardless of how invested I am in the college basketball season. That shit is cliffhangers, nail biters. I love it.
It'll be on in the background, and then like, you know,
you tap in at the under four timeout.
It'll be jazz prior to then,
but
Tyler,
as you and I both have been basically lifelong work from homers, like, is the tournament is the ultimate reward for people who work from home. I mean, I just like his four straight days for me. Like, I'm working, but I can be in boxers watching basketball for 14 hours at the same time.
Right. The tournament, the opening rounds of the tournament were always the moments to me where I would like work in like public because the weather would be nice. It would be like 70 degree days. I'm like, okay, I'm taking my fucking laptop and I'm going to a bar and I'm a fucking, you know what I'm saying? I'm a fucking, you know, drink some beer and eat some fish and chips and shit at fucking 1 p.m. on a fucking Thursday and watch college hoops. And COVID kind of took all that away from us. But that's kind of what I think about when I think about the opening rounds of the tournament.
Jenkins and Jones is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! Exclamation point. FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? FanDuel Fantasy is an easy app to use. That's why I use it. I like that you can pick a new team every game. And I like competing for cash payouts because cash payouts are fun. FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match of up to $500 when you make your first deposit. Go to FanDuel.com/cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/cowherd. FanDuel, more ways to win.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
Do you know what time it is? It's time for the group chat.
All right, I'm very excited. We're introducing a new segment. We've been waiting. This is much anticipated within the Jenkins and Jones group chat, at least. Did we ever name it, Tyler? Did we ever name this segment?
Hell no, I don't think we did.
Historical tidbits from Tyler.
It's history and shit.
It's historical tidbits with Tyler.
It's the Lemmy goddamn history hour with Dragonfly Jones.
Lemmy goddamn motherfucking hell.
Yeah. I'm gonna jump on into it. You feel me?
Lemmy goddamn. Yeah. But I guess we're gonna start off this week. I want to let it be known that I am a fucking Mongol Empire stan. Like, the Mongol Empire is so fucking interesting to me, dude. It's the largest empire ever by, you know, territory, by landmass. And, like, you know, Genghis Khan is like the biggest fucking rags to riches story in human history, possibly.
Rags
like
if you look at Genghis other emperors, Khan.
They came from royal. Yes, absolutely. If you look at other emperors,
that is an entertainment. These motherfuckers fucking
hear me out, bro. This mother like if you look at other empires and emperors, the emperors come from royal lineage. Genghis Khan grew up wearing fucking mouse hide, apparel, like mouse hide coats and shit. Like, he killed his brother for he killed his brother for like eating a rat that he killed. Like, Genghis Khan was dirt fucking poor and became the leader of the biggest empire in world history. Like, he was basically the wealthiest person who ever exists, no matter whatever measures of wealth you have now, because there's nothing in the world that Genghis Khan at the height of the Mongol Empire could do that he didn't want to do. You know what I mean? So like I said, the most ridiculous rags to riches story in fucking world history with Genghis Khan there. And also, there were no warriors better at their respective time than the Mongol cavalier was. Right, like, of course, a fucking 2021 Navy SEAL would fuck a 13th century Mongolian, you know, horseback archer up now. But the Mongols were the greatest archers in the world and the greatest horse riders in the world too. Right, and so they threw all that shit together, and they had, you know, a cavalry where you know they had fucking horseback riders with fucking, you know, the world's greatest archers. Mongol warriors used to wait for the split second where all four legs of their horse are off the air before they let off an arrow. And they would do that shit in rapid succession, right? Like to put that in modern terms, imagine an army of 100,000 of the world's best motorcycle stuntsmen who also happen to be the world's best snipers, right? Like, that's what the fucking 13th century Mongol cavalry was. You know what I mean? Like I said, they are, if we're looking at how good these soldiers were from their contemporary soldiers in their time period, the Mongol cavalry has the biggest gap of any soldiers ever in world history, and that's not disputable. But we are here to discuss one of the most ridiculous fucking facts that I've ever come across.
You said this shit to us like 2 months ago, and we were both like, what the fuck? Like, say that one more time. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So we are going to discuss the lineage of Genghis Khan here. Genealogists did some research, and they came to the conclusion that 1 in 200 men on the planet, basically 0.5% of all men, are descended from Genghis Khan. And of the empire that the Mongols possessed during Genghis Khan's time, 8% of all men who live there now are descended from Genghis Khan, right? So, and the only reason they know this is just specifically men is because they can trace the Y chromosome that is passed from man to man. So if you do the math here and say that, you know, basically the world skews that there's, you know, 52% women and 50%, you know, and fucking 48% men with which how the shit breaks down. You can say those numbers are probably identical on the woman's side too, right? So there's one person in human history who probably birthed, you know, who 1% of this world's population are descended from. And that's the most ridiculous stat I think I've ever fucking heard in my life.
because he was the worst dude ever is obviously worth mentioning.
No doubt. This is nothing to commend him about. Like, this is something.
No, it's just crazy.
It's just insane.
I think it highlights how different the world is than the divisions and stupid shit we put on it now. You know what I mean? To think that one person had that much of a impact on the species of human beings.
Of humanity,
bro. Like, that's
bro.
Wild.
What's crazy is you talked about him killing his brother over a rat that he killed to show how poor he was. Like, because he did so many other things to show how evil he was. You know what I mean? Like, killing his brother over a rat was like the 130th worst thing he did in his life. You know what I mean? Like, that's just to show how poor he is. We got a whole bunch of other shit to talk about how trash of a human.
Tyler, has anything, has there ever been like a worthy TV series or documentary or movie about Genghis Khan, bro? I don't feel like I've ever really heard this story told. You know what I mean? Like in a way where
I would say there's a hardcore history Mongo pod series, which is like, it's about 8 parts, and oh my god, it's.
But I'm saying, like, how has it not been on HBO?
There's a Mongo. Like, yeah. It's. I mean, if we want to be real, it's because of fucking racism, right? Like, people don't think that brown people who had fucking empires, you know, fucking in the Middle Ages are worthy of being documented and shit. You know what I mean? Like everyone loves the Romans, and yeah, the Romans were fucking, you know, innovators. They carved the way of the way, you know, we live now, basically. But it's like, that's pretty much, Romans and Greeks are really like the only ancient empires that really get a lot of love. Egypt gets some love too, but like, you know.
We weren't taught about that in school for real. It gets
I don't
love,
feel
but
like
we weren't
I learned,
taught on it.
I don't feel like I really learned almost anything about, I mean, the world history class that I took in high school was basically European history. It was like Egypt, Greece, Rome, you know, like you said. I think maybe Mesopotamia, but I don't feel like we really like when you first told me that the Mongol Empire was the biggest empire by land of all time, that blew my mind. I don't think I'd ever heard that either.
I mean, we knew about Greek mythology and stuff. I didn't hear about like Egyptian mythology. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went so deep into that, you know what I mean? But I didn't learn too much. I mean, past King Tut, it was like, all right. Back to white people.
right. There's also scientific evidence that during Genghis Khan's rule that the Mongol army killed so many people that carbon emissions reduced and the temperature of the planet dropped by like 2 degrees.
What the
fuck? I read that. No. Yeah. I think you might have sent us that article because I remember we were talking about this dude was fucking Thanos, like he was
for real.
But no, and because they can actually see that in the sediment, right? It's like that's in, like geologically, that's like in the planet that you can see when the like mass holocaust of humanity happened, basically from that army.
Yeah, and some historians speculate that due to all of that killing, that drove the great plague carrying rats from Asia to Europe and spearheaded that shit too. So yeah, this one single guy there's no one person who has more people descended from him, and there's probably no one person who has more bodies and blood on his hand than Genghis Khan. So
that dude went to hell. You know what I mean?
he went to hell.
You know what I mean? Like, whoa, Jesus.
Yeah, hold on. Why was it the first movie made about Genghis Khan? Was he played by the whitest English dude of all time, bro?
Bro, that is motherfucking Napoleon Bonaparte, bro. What the fuck?
That's rough, bro. Apparently, there's also a movie. There was also a biopic. This isn't funny. I'm sorry. There's also a biopic of Genghis Khan starring John Wayne.
Oh my Genghis Khan. God. John Wayne was racist as fuck.
That's like a racist vortex, bro. Yeah.
And they probably get that motherfucker the Fu Manchu and everything, bro. I don't even want to see the pictures for that.
I'm not going to read you the ad copy from this shit, bro. But holy fuck, dog. Wow. Produced by Howard Hughes. Boy, that has the...
Like
that's
Howard the, Hughes.
Okay. How, the, like Howard Hughes. Howard what the Hughes. Fuck? That's fucking crazy. All right. Before we get... Thank you. That was a terrific Let Me Goddamn History Hour. man, yeah, that's crap. I'm excited to turn you loose on history every now and then, bro.
I love
you
that just, shit, man.
That's secretly your calling, bro. You don't know it
yet.
That's
my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I bet that's what it ends. You know what I mean? I bet that ends up being the thing that is like, I always think this is a morbid thing to think about, but as a journalist is what I bet that ends up being the first sentence in your obituary. Like Tyler created the, like this, this, he brought history to the common people. Like.
I remember I knew you was a weird dude when you told me that you would go to Wikipedia and hit random. And just get lost in
you
that
see
shit.
Some interesting shit, bro.
And I'm like, I love you. That is that, you know what I mean? Like, that is, I loved how weird that was. I'm like, yeah, this dude just, he different.
Yeah,
he
I used to do that shit all the time at work. Like just fucking,
right,
you know, fuck working, bro. Just show me some interesting shit. You know, just click it on shit until I wind up at fucking, you know, the fucking octopus nervous system Wikipedia page and shit. So. I was fighting capitalism without even knowing it.
You were a real Twitter dude pre-Twitter, bro.
Right. I was you was built for that shit. You was priming yourself for Twitter to come.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You and Jack were the perfect on the perfect collision course. You know what I mean? Hey, dog, the universe was working. And then
Jack was meditating. He was on one of his retreats and a vision
and
of Tyler came to him.
Right, right. That's the big bang right there. Tyler and Jack meeting. You know what I mean? Say it's the course of the universe, you know what I mean?
Before we get out of here, I did want to talk about Tyler had a tweet that really spoke directly to my heart, and so I just wanted to bring this up. But line dancing is for dudes who cannot dance, so please do not put the complex TikTok dances
feet work
into line dancing. It's not, I don't like it. You're driving a Lamborghini in the slow lane. Like, it's not, that's not what line dancing is for. Line dancing is for me. It is not for people who know how to dance.
Yeah.
That heel toe work was just mortifying, dog. That little, not this shit right here. I'm talking about the little foot thing they was doing. That was absolutely frightening. You know what
listen,
I mean?
Bro, I saw every dance that they did in that Cupid Shuffle remix. And I was like, no one besides people who know how to dance can look cool doing any of this. You know what I mean? Like you gonna have my motherfucking 65-year-old uncle trying to goddamn, you know, stinky leg and shit.
He gonna tear ACL, bro. You know what I mean? No. Hell no, that shit crazy.
Listen,
that hat
bro,
if I had on.
Yeah, if I can't eat a plate of food while doing your shit is too complicated, bro. I think that's a good rule of thumb for a line
dance. There we go. I'll fuck with it.
I mean, listen, as a dude who's been the white dude at a number of black weddings, like the electric slide exists for me to be in people's memory as having danced one time. You know what I mean? I can't describe to you the panic I would feel if I stood up because I saw lines forming and then all of a sudden people are doing
hella knees and elbows thrown all over the place. Flying
so you
through
think
the
you
air.
Can dance, right. Break it out and shit.
I might fake a phone call. Fake a phone call at 1 a.m. at a wedding, bro. Like, huh?
Right. Sneak out to an Uber. Fuck out of here, dog.
All right, last thing, John. I wanted to check in with you, bro, because you said you were trying to quit sugar. I tried to quit sugar because I was like, yeah, you know, let's get some solidarity. I am trying to eat healthier and everything. I made it like 3 hours, bro. And I literally crashed so bad. I went to buy grape juice. I went to Target to buy grape juice, bro.
Grape juice?
Welch's grape juice.
I don't drink juice at all.
I feel like if you want sugar so bad that you, I, I feel like if you want sugar so bad that you will settle for juice instead of like a honey lemon, you want, that's like an intravenous juice injection.
You might as well got that shot into your body, bro.
I learned something about myself. I learned something about myself in those 3 hours. Because all I could think about was, you're not going to eat any sugar.
Right. Bro, like for me, like, you know, I didn't eat a bunch of sugar anyway, right? You know what I mean? So like, I wasn't drinking sodas and shit. Like Shea Serrano was talking about, he's not doing it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, Shay, like, bro, you going from sugar, I mean, like no soda to no candy in 3 days? Bro, you trying to get off crack. Cold turkey, bro. Like that, no, for real. Like when I, the first 3 days, I felt like I was having symptoms similar to a heroin addiction, bro. Like headache, twitchy, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? But like now, like if the thought of eating a piece of cheesecake actually makes my stomach hurt. So I think they said after 10 days, but I mean, it's been about 2 weeks. So I feel way better now. I feel like I don't really trip off like that no more. I get mine out of fruit. I eat a lot of fruit. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I can make it 10 days. I'm going to try and make it 6 hours. I'm going to try on Saturday to go 6 hours.
I believe in you. You can do it. Bro, you have a problem, Mike.
That's what I'm telling you.
Bro, we need to do a segment, have an intervention, bro.
Oh, Char would be happy to come on an intervention, bro. About yeah, for sure.
Man, you yeah that when you like, I should have known when you said you really got juice.
I eat sweets like twice a month.
Right, but Tyler, you're weird, bro. I told y'all when I tried to give me that acai bowl that time. Yeah. Tyler looked like a kid, he was about to spit that shit out.
Feeding me sweets was like trying to feed me vegetables, bro. Right, I was not with that shit.
He had to force feed himself acai, but yeah, man.
Tyler eats meat and sauces that go on meat.
Meat and sauce. There we go.
I eat vegetables too. I fucking love vegetables.
Fired. I mean, sometimes
good as fuck.
I'll just eat vegetables. Like vegetables are so good. Well, I just eat vegetables by themselves. Not like a salad. Like I'll get like asparagus and have a side of fucking Brussels sprouts or some shit. Like,
yeah, let's. Bro, I will slice a whole goddamn pickle up and put it in some goddamn water with some salt and pepper and eat that shit like it's potato chips, bro.
Hey,
I fucking love vegetables, dog.
Pickles, bro. That's a
Let's talk
crack.
About the spear. Let's talk about how good the spears are. I don't know what the fuck way they cut the motherfucker.
And that crunch, that texture in them things, dog. Ooh wee. Why they hit and they hit you right here in the back of that jaw. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
That
there.
Taste
right
gets
there,
your whole
where your shit
mouth
sizzle a bit.
Right. Yeah. It gets back to points where taste doesn't touch. I don't even know how I have taste buds back here, but I can feel it. You know what I mean? It fills your whole mouth up with juice, you know?
All right. I've got a pint of Haagen-Dazs chocolate ice cream calling my name. So we're
that you
gonna,
about to smack.
I'm about to just
blah, 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 you about to beat the shit out of that Haagen-Dazs.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks as always for listening. Subscribe, tell your friends, do the 5 stars, do all that great shit, and have a great weekend, y'all. We'll see you on Monday.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.